everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Media Boat Podcast. It is November the 18th, 2020. And if you don't know what the Media Boat Podcast is, let me tell you about it. Folks, the Media Boat Podcast is your one number one source. Well, maybe not everyone's number one source, but certainly my number one source for news about news and thoughts about movies, television, video games, and music. This is episode number 254. My name is Matt. His name is Mike.
I'm Mike. He's Matt. 254 episodes down in the tank, plus specials somewhere. So we're
really
at like 310 ish.
Yeah, it's okay. In our podcast tank that we keep in our yard, just throwing them in there when we're done. We're just like filling it up with podcasts. It's gonna burst someday.
It's all there, archived for your listening pleasure.
Yes, we'll tell you all about
and
that.
Some viewing pleasure.
A little later, yes, viewing, listening, however you like to enjoy the Media Boat Podcast. But thank you for joining us, and we are happy to present you with another podcast to enjoy today. We always start the podcast with movies, and we usually start with the box office, but there's no box office, so we're going to skip right past that.
There is no box office.
And talk about movie news, and we got movie news so hot that it broke right before we recorded. What were you saying?
Real quickly, there is a movie coming out this week.
Okay.
If you're interested.
No.
It stars Jackie Chan, and it's called Vanguard.
Okay, Vanguard.
But yeah, so that's the only new release.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
You know what else is a movie? Something that Warner Brothers has been purportedly going to be releasing sometime this year in proper theaters. Well, that's still kind of the case, but now it's a little opened up to more opportunities in its release. And I am, of course, talking about Warner Brothers' is Wonder Woman 1984. We've talked about it a few times on the podcast lately about Warner's plans about whether or not it was going to push it back, whether it was going to try other release strategies, or just straight up release it in the movie theater.
Right. This was the last film of the holiday slate to still keep its Christmas release date. Everything else got
standing.
Out of the way.
Everybody else got out of the way, but Wonder Woman's also getting out of the way and into your streaming library, because the big announcement was that Warner is going to all but give up on a traditional theatrical release and will instead release in whatever theaters are open on Christmas, and then, of course, on HBO Max, their streaming service, that same day of release.
Wait, so I could either spend $20 going to a theater and wear a mask the whole time, or I can watch it in the comfort of my home for pennies on the dollar, whatever.
It's true. For the price you already are paying on HBO Max.
Right. Because we assume you already have HBO Max, or it comes with your cable subscription.
Yes. So we talked about a story about this a few weeks ago, and we mentioned that there was going to be some earnings calls coming up regarding the future of these projects. And sure enough, that did occur. And Warner's really focusing on growing the number of HBO Max customers. And well, if it means giving up on potential box office ticket sales, Wonder Woman 1984 is a perfect Trojan horse. And keeping some semblance of a theatrical release on Christmas Day provides some comfort for cinemas who are actually open, whether domestically or internationally. So yeah, that's important right there. International is important here. These superhero movies traditionally do well internationally, and there are plenty of countries out there that are not locked down or quarantined that will be able to go and have a big release day for this film.
Right. So, we have talked about Europe closing down in Spain, France, Italy, and I think the UK now.
Yes, the UK is
part
back,
of the EU.
Back locked down now. Just like we are, more or less, depending on where you live. I think what we're seeing this week is kind of a wave of different regulations popping back up in certain states. In here in California, we had Governor Newsom move everybody back to purple, at least here in Orange County and LA County. It's the second wave that everybody knew was happening now.
Almost as if we knew this would happen.
Yeah, almost as if we knew this was going to be the case the whole time. But hey, who listens to the scientists?
Right, but I think this is a brilliant move by Warner Brothers and Time Warner to get people to sign up to HBO Max, as we have reported on that their numbers severely lag behind that of Disney Plus, which just hit its 1 year anniversary. And I think I saw its numbers at 75 million, which is 300% where they expected to be or where they hoped to be in a 1 year time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they definitely need something to boost people to go to HBO Max. And if you're going to get people to basically sign up essentially for the first time HBO Max on Christmas Day, that's $10, I think they're running at, right?
Yes, I think you're right. It actually might be 13.
Right. But see, those, that ticket price that you would pay for Wonder Woman is a subscription price that you have to pay every single month instead of a one-time ticket.
Right.
So it's a good move. Smart business move.
Theoretically, if this brings in the people that they needed to bring in, if it just caters to the existing customers of HBO Max, then it's failed its mission. They need to expand the user base, not just cater to those who already are subscribers.
Right. They need to blow up that user base. They need to pump up those numbers.
But if they have a movie that's going to do it, it's this and what? Fantastic Beasts? Like, that's all they've got. So, well, yeah, but Christopher Nolan kind of kept that from being the case.
Right.
So,
but this also does lead into the recent trailer of Justice League, the Snyder Cut, which will keep people subscribed as that slowly rolls out episodically in 2021.
Yes. Boy, are we waiting on edge of our seat for that, right? Anyway, let's move on to our second story. Why don't we? Let's move from Warner's over to Paramount, where one of their big tentpoles that we thought maybe had a questionable future now has not only a new installment, but a new director. Let's talk about Transformers.
So do we have to talk about Transformers? Because I assume Michael Bay blew up Transformers.
Michael Bay.
Both literally and physically.
Michael Bay blows up a lot of things, but he didn't blow up the franchise, I guess, not yet, because Paramount still has hope that their next one will be even better. Paramount Pictures and Hasbro Studios have set up Stephen Caple Jr., the director of Creed 2, to direct the new Transformers movie in a reinvented universe. Following the release of 2017's Transformers The Last Night, director Michael Bay parted ways with the series to focus on new original material. After that, the studio decided to do a full revamp of the property, starting with a writer's room that would develop multiple ways to pursue a new film, leading to 2018's Bumblebee, which was actually received with a lot of critical praise. Joby Harold's screenplay, he wrote King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Everybody remembers that movie, right?
Right.
Right?
Right. He's also a producer on that and a producer on the Robin Hood film.
Yes. Well, his screenplay on the next installment is complete, with his final touches on the script given at the end of the summer. So, get ready. More Transformers. Are we excited?
Maybe. Who's going to be the new human lead character that we all fawned over?
Tom Holland.
And why is it Sexiest Man Alive, Michael B. Jordan?
I knew that in your head you were going to try to get, like, put that in somewhere in this podcast. I don't know where you were going to put it in.
Well, Steve Caple Jr. did work with him on Creed 2.
Yes, that's true.
Michael B. Jordan likes working with the same directors.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. If he has time to be in a Transformers movie, I could see Michael B. Jordan in a Transformers movie. Why not?
I mean, it's a good draw if you can add him to it.
If we're talking about people on magazine covers this week, then yeah, Michael B. Jordan should be with Zendaya and they should both do it. I would watch that Transformers.
That would be a really good Transformers. I don't care what else you have in there.
Yeah, you could just have them talking to each other.
These two are in it. Come buy tickets.
Hey, it would work for me. All righty. Well, You have a third story here. Do you intend on me reading it?
No, because the Wonder Woman story was so late breaking that I needed to put that in here now. But the last story is that the Gotham Awards, the usually first award season to kick off award season, will take place on January 11th instead of the Monday after Thanksgiving. But it kind of snowballed because, well, one, COVID, so there's going to be a remote ceremony. Two, all the nominees for Best Pictures are directed by women.
Interesting.
And third one, tangentially, Chadwick Boseman could get a posthumous Oscar with his portrayal in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, where he co-stars with Viola Davis.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I mean, these, like you said, are typically a harbinger of what's to come in award season. So,
right. I mean, last year we saw Noah Baumbach's Marriage Story come out of Gotham Awards as the winner, and then an early front runner for the Oscars. And Adam Driver won an Oscar for his performance in there.
That is true.
So there is some credence to the Gotham Awards and how you can ride that wave to an Oscar award. Love all the way to the Academy wave. Awards.
Yep. Did you watch any movies? Do you have any thoughts about any films released in 2020 today?
No.
Really? Neither, which means...
I'm slacking on movies.
It's okay. Watch. It's 2020.
Movies to watch have not come out.
Exactly, right? Let's move past movies then and talk about TV. And we always start our television section with the Sports Corner. Bow, bow, bow. Sports happened. Sports continue to happen, I should say.
Sports are literally on TV right now.
Sports are happening on television. Turn on a television near you and you might see sports on it. However, if you're in the Ivy League colleges, well, maybe you won't see sports pretty soon here because they have canceled their winter sports.
This is no surprise because the Ivy League was the first to come out to cancel fall sports. Yes. And now they're the first to cancel winter sports winter as well. Sports.
Yeah. It's consistent.
If they're anything, they are consistent. Unlike the Pac-12.
Yes, unlike everybody else who changed their mind. Let's move on to baseball. We have MVPs. Everybody loves an MVP. In this case, the American League MVP is White Sox's Jose Abreu. And the National League MVP is the Braves' Freddie Freeman.
Boo. Cue all Freeman Dodger fans over booing. Here. Because yeah, Mookie Betts or Corey Seager should have won from the Dodgers.
Yeah, but hey, it's a weird year.
Weird year, you get weird stats with only 60 games. That's all you got to choose from. So it's weird.
Yep.
So you have like these, if you get out, so basically if you got a hot streak early in the season and it didn't taper off by the end, you kind of won it. There was no like surging and then cooling off and then resurging.
Yep. Also in baseball, the league has its first female general manager. The Marlins have hired one. I'm going to attempt on pronouncing her name. Kim. I don't know.
You just, as you would say it.
That can't be.
That is it.
Hmm.
Eng. Eng. You say the N.
Oh.
Eng. Kim Eng.
Okay.
She is hired as the first, not only the first female GM in baseball, but the first female GM in all sports history? At least the big four.
Yeah, in America.
Yeah.
That we know of. yeah, that's a big deal. Congratulations.
Not only is she the general manager, I believe their president is also a woman, and the owner is former shortstop Derek Jeter.
Right. So the next step here is, of course, maybe let some women play the game.
Maybe. In baseball?
Maybe. Why not?
Well, I think we should start with a league of their own. And go from there.
Anyway. Let's move from baseball into college football, which we mentioned briefly earlier, as it's Heisman season. The finalists were announced on, are going to be announced, I should say, on December the 12th, and the trophy will be awarded January 5th during a virtual ceremony. So we'll have our first virtual Heisman.
Yes. They're not going to Radio City Music Hall. There's no big ceremony. It's just all done virtually.
There you go. Any idea about who's who's a front runner here?
Mr. COVID himself, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that's a title I'm sure he's going to want to stick around.
I mean, I don't know. It's football.
Yeah, it's
college. Pick a running back from Alabama or LSU.
Yeah, that's safe. That's probably pretty safe. Next up in golf, we mentioned that the Masters were happening, and sure enough, Dustin Johnson has won the Masters this year.
Any relation?
No, not that I know of, no.
So he won with in a minus 20 round after four rounds. One, two, three, four. Yeah. So he shot 20 under par, which ties the course record. Had he birdied on the last hole, he would have had the course record at 21 under par.
Wow. It's impressive.
But he fucked up.
Do you really call that fucking up, though? I think that sounds like he did a pretty good job.
I mean, when you have a couple bogeys in there, sure, at some point you did fuck up.
Well, come on. You try. Yeah. You golf better than that. You try golfing.
Oh, I would love to go play on that course.
I'd like to see you try.
Let me first try and shoot under par at a par three, and right. Then I'll get back to you.
Yeah, let me know. All right, moving on to basketball. The NBA draft is tonight.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards. It is like literally right now. They're doing the draft pre-show. Mm-hmm. Begins in about 7-10 minutes here.
Got it. Anthony Edwards, not that Anthony Edwards, is projected to be your number one pick tonight. First five picks belong to the Timberwolves, the Warriors, the Hornets, the Bulls, and the Cavaliers.
So there was a Twitter post article, Vanity Fair article.
Was it a tweet or a fleet?
No, it was. I think it was an ESPN interview somewhere. Anthony Edwards did a interview leading up to the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. And he tried to downplay his stock, saying that he didn't really have an affinity to continue playing basketball, that if anyone in the NFL wanted to give him a shot at a receiver or tight end spot, that he would go and try out for them.
That sounds like a man shooting his shot. Like, this is him taking a big swing and being like, hey, NFL, if you want to pay me millions of dollars, I'll come over to you while I'm in the stage dancing for you. Hey. What about you guys?
Right, but I think this is his shot of trying to downplay his stock so he doesn't get stuck in the Timberwolves and probably gets bumped over to either the Warriors, the Bulls, or the Cavs.
Yeah, even more lucrative franchises that people care about, perhaps. Right,
and not get stuck in Minnesota there in the wintertime.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to play for a Minnesota team, that's for sure.
Right. And lastly, speaking of basketball,
yes.
Their schedule, or at least part of their schedule.
Okay.
So as we noted, that it's going to be a 72 game season, down from its 82 game season. The start date will be December 23rd or 22nd, which is the Tuesday before Christmas. So we'll still get Christmas games, but they only released half of the schedule and they're saving the other half in case they have to do a COVID bubble and in case they need to shuffle things around because players tested positive or they had to postpone some games and do some reshuffling.
That makes sense. That's smart. That's smart. Planning ahead.
They're giving themselves an out halfway through the season. So it's smart.
Yeah.
Doing this half league schedule.
I mean, hey, they proved last season, like we talked about last week, they proved last season that this works. They proved that they could have a safe season of basketball. And I don't blame them for having everything figured out, all these little bits and pieces, because that's why they did so well the last time.
Right. And speaking of tournaments, the NCAA March Madness tournament is looking into doing a bubble similar to the NBA, but not in Florida. They're looking at doing it in Indiana, the Hoosier state and home of basketball.
Interesting. Okay. That makes sense.
But we won't know about that until next year.
Yes, that's a 2021 problem to solve. Yes.
But they're trying to solve it right now, or at least plan for it.
Yeah. Anything else in sports before we move on to television news proper?
Drew Brees got a, media boat favorite, Brew Drees.
Brew Drees, my favorite football player, yes.
Yes. punctured lung.
Oh, no.
And 6 cracked ribs.
Yikes.
Out.
Yeah, I bet. He should not play the sport of football with that.
He's also pretty old, so who knows if he is going to play football ever again.
Yikes. Well, wouldn't want to be a Saints fan right now. But
this might be his last season, looking like it. But
yeah.
Yeah, devastating to my fantasy team.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I guess here's wishing Drew Brees an eventual recovery. But yeah, you're probably right about his career, though.
Yep. That's all I got for sports.
Well, I certainly don't have anything, so that's it for the sports corner. Let's talk about television news. Are you looking at the sports corner, or are you looking at the sports that's happening on the television?
I'm looking at the sports that's happening on the television.
nothing to report.
Showing LaMelo Ball.
Okay.
Because he's also potentially being drafted.
I hear he's never lost.
Not on stateside. But they did ask him if he would rather play in the D League or in Australia. And he said he would go to Australia to play professional basketball there.
Okay.
Instead of in the D League of the NBA.
Should I actually watch this week's SNL so that way I could cross my fingers that Keenan does the
LaMelo Ball?
Does the LaMelo Ball
Depending on what happens over the next, 24 hours, probably.
We will see. All right. Let's stop talking about SNL and Keenan. And let's talk about former SNL writing staff member, Conan O'Brien.
No, he's a former Simpson writing staff.
He did both, turns out, in the early 90s. He was kind of a writer for hire there for a while. But, of course, we mostly know Conan O'Brien as the host of a long-running late-night program.
The kind Tonight of
was
Show.
On he was on network TV for a while, was almost the guy after Jay Leno, but you know what happened. We don't need to go into that history. Then afterwards, ended up on cable, where he's hosted for 10 years on TBS. Well, after 28 years of late night television, he's finally going away. He's ending his late night run with the season 10 finale of his current incarnation of the Conan show on TBS, ending in June 2021. Beginning in 2021, O'Brien will, though, get his own weekly variety series for HBO Max. He will also continue his travel specials, Conan Without Borders, with crew member Jordan Schlansky. As we talked about on this very podcast, last year, TBS made a move to reduce the hour-long Conan show down to a less structured half-hour show that gave Conan a little bit more flexibility with what he wanted to do on the show. So we're already kind of in a trajectory of him trying new things and kind of experimenting and maybe lessening the actual talk show element of his talk show. So this doesn't come as a surprise to me that he's giving up the nightly format and moving to a streaming show that'll allow even more freedom for him to experiment and try whatever he wants.
Not only that, it kind of also eliminates the weekly element and the talk show element to literally allow him to do whatever he wants. Do you
Whatever he
ever want a
wants.
guest to talk? Sure, do that. You want to do a whole video game half hour segment? Sure, go right ahead. You
I mean,
want
he's
to stop random people on the streets? You want to go to a rally? You want to go to the White House? Do it.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly earned it. I mean, 28 years, just looking at that number, 28 years, I mean, second only to Johnny Carson at that point. Johnny Carson, had like the 30-year tenure. Like, Conan was almost there with nights of hosting a show in late night television in some sort of capacity. And so that's a pretty impressive run. The man clearly has shown no signs of stopping either. So I'm excited to see what he does with this new platform, new format, and more freedom.
He is the Brett Favre of late night.
Yeah, he's always advertising those Wrangler jeans. I just don't even look that great on him, but he does it anyway. He's like a really tall guy, so they don't always get the size right for him, but
Nothing more of the copper fit.
There you go. There you go.
It's how he runs his shows.
Anyway,
Anyways.
our second story is actually multiple stories because I am proud to present TV bits,
The bits, the bits,
bits in
the bits.
television style. Here's a cavalcade of stories for you, starting with David Fincher has signed a 4-year deal with Netflix following the release of his film Mank, which is his first film since Gone Girl back in 2014. Of course, David Fincher, highly respected, critically acclaimed director. So signing to Netflix follows in the footsteps of people like, I don't know, Martin Scorsese, who have made Oscar-nominated films for Netflix in the past. So here we are.
Fincher had a deal prior with Mindhunters, and so that's how Mank came about, and so he's now there for another 4 years.
I mean, I don't blame him. Like we've been reporting on this podcast for the last handful of years, is that creative talent is getting poached by Netflix. So that way, Netflix can keep churning out these critically acclaimed movies and television series. And it's working. I mean, every
I will
year.
probably be checking out Manx when it becomes available. And that will be the first film I've seen since Tenet.
Yeah, our end of the year list for movies is not going to be probably in the same format as the other three
Maybe not
categories, I
the,
think.
we might not have the best films,
We might just
but we
say,
will have
yes,
films to
we might
talk
just
about.
have like, let's just talk about films we watched this year because there's so few of them. That might be five. But we'll see. We'll get back to
We'll
that in
get there.
December. But for now, moving on to the television bits. Matthew Perry has confirmed a Friends reunion, which has all been confirmed by other people as well, coming in March 2021. So everybody will finally get the thing they waited for forever. The Friends will be reunited.
Speaking of being reunion shows, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion on HBO Max,
I also saw
also
that on
announced.
Twitter today, yes. So it's happening. The 90s never ended. We are
We're circling
seeing,
back.
yeah, we're circling back to all those shows. Everything you loved, question mark, is
Everything you
going to come back.
watched.
Everything you watched, everything you endured. Anyway, next up at the bits, WandaVision, the upcoming Marvel produced Disney Plus series starring, of course, Wanda and Vision. See the title?
Yep,
Makes
you
sense.
just mashed two words together.
They sure did. Finally, has a release date. It is January 15th, 2021. So then you can get all your WandaVision in. Did they mention that if it's going to be a weekly show a la The Mandalorian or
I
not?
believe it will be a weekly show, The
Okay.
Mandalorian.
That's smart. I was
I
hoping that
believe
would be
this
the
also
case.
means it jumps Falcon and the Winter Soldier
Yes.
on Netflix, and it also jumps
Disney
the
Plus.
Black Widow film as well.
Yep. So it will be the first of the Marvel content in 2021.
Lottery shuffling going on there.
Yes. Next up, something that's close to you
Yes.
as a fan of this show, The Good Doctor. One of their stars, Richard Schiff, has been hospitalized with COVID-19.
which they had just aired their season premiere to two-parter, which dealt with actual doctor stories dealing with COVID-19.
Right. So do they somehow write a reason for him to depart the show?
No, not yet. It was just the first two episodes that they dedicated to the hospital workers. Beginning with the third episode, they basically did a forward of eventually in the future when this is done, this is how the series will progress.
Okay.
So they kind of just skipped all the COVID stories
Yeah,
because
they
that's
pretended
basically
that it
all
was
they would.
over and like, let's go back to normal.
Well, because it was like, this is, we would just show you this every single week, but then this would be too depressing for our show. So let's fast forward a year.
Yeah.
But he is one of the older characters. He was the former president of the hospital and a mentor to Sean or to Freddie Highmore's character. So it is possible to write him off the show. It will be really sad if they use this actual
Yeah.
scenario, but there is room for him to be like a, he's not a major player, at least not anymore. Like the first season, he definitely was, and slowly transitioned out between two and three.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure they'll be smart about it. I'm sure they'll figure out some way to graciously remove him and then maybe, hopefully, someday put him back.
But he's not dead yet, so
Right. That's key. That's key.
yes.
All right. Next up in the bits, another one of your favorites, Big Mouth is getting a season four debut on Netflix on December 4th. So more Big Mouth forthcoming.
Just in time for the holiday season.
Yeah, that's what I want to see around the tree. Those
Big
terrible,
mouths.
terrible character designs. Next up, HBO Max. In case you were a holdout, well, it's just been added to two new devices. If you're an Amazon Fire TV or Fire tablet owner, you can finally now download the HBO Max app and start a watching.
Or you can gift it as part of your access codes
It's true.
to people who probably don't have it yet.
Yeah, you could. And then lastly, in the bits, Hulu has joined with Netflix, which we reported last week, in raising their prices. And Hulu is going to go up by, you, that can't not be true. You have
$10.
up by $10. You mean to $10.
No, they're increasing their live package $10.
Oh, okay. You
Sorry,
just
I
have
have the story
Hulu.
there.
You just have Hulu. You need to say Hulu
Yeah, it's Hulu and Hulu Live.
Live. Okay, so the live TV package is going up another $10, which actually that will be parity with YouTube TV, I believe
Oh,
in that
yeah, that's right.
price.
I see your confusion because there is Hulu
Yes,
and
there's
then there's Hulu
Hulu
Live.
without live television, which is definitely not going up $10. That would
Right,
be
no.
a terrible idea.
Yes, no. That's Hulu Live is going up $10.
Right, it's key. In the meanwhile, I wanted to mention something really quick that I saw this week related to a story that we reported a few weeks ago, which is about the T-Mobile services. Apparently, after they announced that T-Mobile, whatever the hell they're
T-Vision.
calling it, T-Vision, yes, not to be confused with WandaVision, but T-Vision. So I guess a bunch of the owners of those cable networks saw the prices that they were advertising for this thing and were like, no. And so apparently there's renegotiations happening with those companies in T-Mobile, and those prices that they advertised will likely go up because they were like, you can't bundle this with this and have it be this price. We only bundle these here. So that vibe package that they mentioned, which was like entertainment like focused stuff, is probably not going to be what T-Mobile says it's going to be. They're going to have to probably strip that thing completely out and raise the tiers up like $5. So that thing, T-Mobile was playing hardball with the prices and being very generous, and it's probably not gonna, it's gonna end up being more expensive.
I mean, it'll be comparable to everything else that's out there in the market.
Exactly. Which was the ex what the that sad part about this is that was the exciting thing about this Hulu, or sorry, this T-Mobile thing was how cheap it was going to be.
Right, but you
And
had to be a
so
T-Mobile customer to get that deal.
And so, yeah, if they can't, you know, get that deal, though, they can't get those prices down, it's just not going to be as lucrative as it would have been with that price point on it. Because $10 a month, which was what they were advertising for that vibe package, would be the cheapest in the game. And they're probably not going to be able to pull it off.
Probably not. Okay, anything else?
No. I guess that means we get to move right on into television thoughts as you look towards the TV again. Any breaking news?
Well, yes, we are literally breaking right now
All
because the
right.
Minnesota Timberwolves have made a selection.
Okay.
And the number one pick in the draft is Anthony Edwards, shooting guard or shooting guard from Georgia.
So exactly what you said was going to happen. Is he going to take it?
He's wearing the hat, so
I guess
probably.
so. I guess he's a Timberwolf. Well, there you go. This is not a live show, but we like to pretend it is
Yeah, throw it in the
sometimes.
bits.
We just threw it. We just threw it in the podcast shit out back again. All right, it's time for TV thoughts. You've watched some TV this week.
Yes, I did. I watched the Masters this past weekend. Or rather, I watched all four rounds of the Masters because I had a ESPN Plus, which followed live coverage of the golfers. And because there were no fans anywhere, you could see them perfectly shooting their shots. Yes, and that is golf, by the way.
Just to clarify for people who don't know. But yes, so they presented it into a manner where you could just like pop in and just be like, oh, that happened.
Yeah, well, they would have a rotating coverage of their featured players, which they you could just follow. And then they had their coverage of either the front nine, back nine, or select holes, which is a really great deal for ESPN Plus. And I wish they would have advertised that more that you could do
Yeah.
that. Because
Yeah.
even when it switched over to CBS on Sunday, they still ran their coverage on ESPN Plus because you're paying for it. Also, when that was over, I watched some rugby, some New Zealand rugby, and that was awesome. But golfing Masters in fall looked beautiful, and I'm happy there were no fans because I could see all of it.
That's true.
But as we said, Dustin Johnson shot minus 20 and basically ran away with it after the second or third day. Tiger Woods started off hot at minus 5. And then immediately cooled off, shooting par and par the next 2 days.
He's an old man now.
But he started off great, and people were picking him to win it all, to
Yeah, people pick a
repeat.
lot of things.
But yeah, good job for Dustin Johnson, DJ, as they called him all throughout.
DJ, little
Got a
boy.
coronation. He's been doing really well as I've been following more and more golf. Because there's been less and less sports.
Watch anything else?
Yes, we forgot to mention it last week because it happened last Wednesday, but the CMA Awards, the Country Music Awards, were on.
Yes.
And it was a crowning night for Kelsea Ballerini. Wait, I think I got that wrong.
What?
Maren Morris?
You watched it, not me. You tell me.
Oh no, I know I watched it.
Don't remember who won.
It is Maren Morris.
Maren Morris, yeah.
Yes, with her song The Bones,
Yes.
basically winning everything it was nominated for.
That is, I feel like, the most recent example of a big crossover country hit because you didn't only have the original country version, which was on the record, but then you had an EDM remix that was getting a lot of play on pop radio. So I could see
Right, and
that.
as long as the bones are good.
Yes, turns out the bones of that song were good enough to make it work in both formats. And yeah, it was a smash, and
Yeah, it
congratulations to
was
Maren.
basically her crowning night of I'm now country superstar, like last year was our favorite Casey
Casey
Musgraves.
Musgraves. No, I'm glad. I remember we actually talked about that album on this podcast. I think we both enjoyed it. So there you go.
But yeah, she won, and then Luke Combs was also the big winner, and then Entertainer of the Year, where no one was entertaining anyone, went to Eric Church.
Sure, okay. I mean, I feel like he's earned that just by being Eric Church.
Kind of. But I did feel like Miranda Lambert got snubbed everywhere for her album. Yes.
Yeah, that's depressing because that album is excellent. Yes. The one she put out last year.
Wild Card.
Yeah. But she has had her due.
Has she? Say.
I mean, I'm not saying that she's not still great. I'm just saying that she has been rewarded in the past. So,
right. But this was such a good album that I figured that, you know, put it all to her. But, you know, they went with their Maren Morris and
can't she's always
now the country new thing.
Yeah. Can't always or get it right. But yeah.
New hotness.
Still congratulations.
Well, still I mean, congratulations. Well, anyway. Anyways. One thing that did irk me a lot,
okay,
is because Big Machine Records runs a lot of these artists.
Yes.
The name Scooter Braun thanked a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh yeah, they have to do that now.
They have to do that.
That just, ugh.
We'll talk more about Scooter Braun a little later in this podcast.
What else could make you go, ugh,
for Scooter Braun? Oh, you'll see. There's a big ugh coming up. Anyways,
yeah.
What else?
Those are country music artists.
Those who are country winning music awards. Artists. It's true.
Yep. other TV I watched.
Yes.
This past week was the season finale for John Oliver's show Last Week Tonight. That is officially wrapped, and 2020 is officially blown up. According to him,
he blows up every year, I think.
the last one he did it was 2016, I think.
Okay, I remember that. I remember when he did that. Okay. Right. I don't know if he continued that bit since I wasn't watching. But
no, but ever since they went out of studio, like after like episode 4 or 3, he's been shooting his stuff from a void or the void, as he's called it. Uh-huh. Just a big blank white wall. And it's been quite a year. Been interesting. I think he's tired of doing Trump stuff.
Oh,
and
I bet.
Hopefully,
yeah,
like we're done with all that. And he can go back to doing obscure.
We can wish that, but I don't think we're truly 100% done quite yet.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll he has 3 more years, I think, at HBO.
Mm-hmm. He renewed. Yeah, we had that season three more season extension recently, I feel.
Right. So, you know, now he gets back to what he probably wants to be doing and talk about literally whatever he wants to talk about again.
Actual issues. And the issues will not stop. There will still be more material for him, I'm sure.
Right. And probably try and do less domestic issues and hopefully more international issues.
Perhaps.
But we'll see when he returns back in February, I think. I think he takes January off. And lastly, I haven't talked about it for 3 weeks. I usually wait for 3 episodes. Third episode hit, and it continues to be a hit for Disney Plus. I, of course, am talking about The Mandalorian Season 2.
Yes.
And yes, that's the Baby Yoda show.
Yeah, that's probably what most people. Let me regale you with a real brief story of from my childhood, real quick. Go ahead. You know how Family Matters at some point, like in toward the end of the show,
it became
so much about Urkel that nobody called it Family Matters. It was just like, oh, I'm gonna go home and watch Urkel.
Right.
I feel like that's probably the case with The Mandalorian. You know, probably many people were probably like in their homes watching this show and be like, Did you watch Baby Yoda yet? Did you save Baby Yoda for me? I haven't seen it yet. You didn't watch Baby Yoda without me, right? That conversation is happening all over the U.S. right now.
Oh, I'm sure it is, because sometimes people only look up when Baby Yoda is on screen.
This sounds like a personal story now. It's happening to you.
No, I'm watching it fully.
No, not you.
That may be watching it or watching it with me. Maybe distracted until Baby Yoda comes on screen.
I mean, or we have to remind,
look, it's Baby Yoda.
Anyway,
Baby
tell
Yoda's
me about
doing
Baby
things.
Yoda. I mean, The Mandalorian season two.
I'm liking what they're doing it right now. It's still very much a Western style set in the Star Wars universe. And they're putting a lot more speed bumps. The episodes seem not necessarily longer, but more like filled with more things that happen and have more consequences, and it just keep being raised that it's slowly becoming a bounty hunter of the week type episode where we have to do a D&D campaign style mission to complete said episode. But it's done so well that I don't mind it yet.
Okay, that's good.
And it's following a thread from last year, from last season, where he's trying to find the rest of the Mandalorians and return Baby Yoda to the Jedi. So it's a really good story that I'm hoping to continue. And I think we announced that it got a third season.
Believe I did get renewed, so yes.
Yeah. So having fun watching it. And then also, if you haven't seen it, there's also the behind the scenes of The Mandalorian on Disney Plus as well,
Oh,
which
neat.
highly suggest checking out.
Okay, cool. I have seen zero anything about The Mandalorian. Not my thing, but yeah, I'm glad it's caught on. I'm glad it's people still liking it. There, I do recall on Twitter there after one of the episodes that recently aired, there was some controversy about some decisions that Baby Yoda made, and I'm just thinking, how could Baby Yoda make decisions? It's a baby. But we don't need to go into spoiler territory here. But
Oh, it was a matter of life and death.
I see, as it always is.
Well, no, it was a matter of Baby Yoda taking life and causing death.
I'm guessing that he chose to do that. All right. Again, we won't talk about spoilers for The Mandalorian here, but that's all my side, off to the side of this phenomenon experience with this thing. So instead, let's move on from talking about thoughts, unless you have anything else on television you want to talk about.
Did you watch anything else?
No. We
Holiday
are.
baking shows are happening.
Yes.
So kind of watching that, but that's not really, that's my trash TV that I like to watch and put on.
It's not trash.
Oh, it's delicious. Eventually
Yeah.
all of it goes in the trash, but it's delicious.
That's why you need to go to the dumpsters outside of Food Network. That's where the good stuff is. All right. Let's talk
Wait,
about
I
the next
thought the
part of the
cast and
show.
crew eat it.
Cancellations and renewals. It's time to
All
talk
right,
about
what am I no
things.
longer watching?
Well, you say that, but I feel like we always have way more renewals than we have cancellations.
It's
So it's
weird
more
because
like,
nobody's shooting right now.
yeah, it's more like,
Or
what are you
everything
going to
already
make?
got canceled that was supposed to get canceled.
Yeah, so I think maybe you should start saying, what am I going to continue watching now? Because I feel like, yeah, it shouldn't be cancellations and renewals. It should be renewals and cancellations, if you ask me.
All right, what are we still watching?
What we're still watching is apparently, unfortunately, Emily in Paris, which, by the way, the official Netflix Twitter says is supposed to be pronounced Emily in Paris, so that way Paris rhymes
It
with Emily.
rhymes.
They can eat it because I don't
Nope.
agree. But yeah, it
Do
was
they say it
renewed.
once in the show like
It...
that, Emily in Paris?
I mean, everybody has a French accent because they're in Paris. So yes, I'm sure somebody says that in the show, but I didn't watch past 20 minutes past like the pilot, so don't ask me.
Okay.
It's being renewed for a second season on Netflix, so there'll be more Emily for those of you who can suffer through it. Next up, Nat Geo is bringing back The Hot Zone for a second season.
Not to be confused with the TBS show, The Hot Ones.
It's very different. Fox, though, is bringing back one of our media boat favorites here. Thankfully, after months of speculation about whether or not they were going to bring it back, Lego Masters coming back for a second season.
Continuously being on the bubble since it wrapped this year.
Yeah. But I'm excited. I really enjoyed that first season. I want to see them do something different with some new competitors. I want to see a different take, possibly, on maybe the format, because man, that was a weird ass show.
And FYI, it's cheap to make.
It's very cheap to make, so I'm sure there'll be even more. Netflix is also bringing back Space Force for a second season, so I heard mixed things about that show.
Middling things, because people expect it to be The Office in space, and it wasn't.
Yeah, my exposure to it suggested it was more slapsticky, kind of oddball kind of show than people wanted it to be. So we'll see what season two has to on offer. Hulu bringing back Woke for a second season. And then your cancellations. Netflix has canceled The Order after two seasons. And TBS, as we mentioned in our television news, has canceled Conan after 10 seasons. So there you go. Those are your cancellations and renewals as I whack into my microphone. I hope that doesn't come out in the recording.
All come out in the record. That song is so catchy. She should have won.
Anyways, now we talk about deaths, the sad part of the show. And we have just a couple this week. Paul Hornung. Yes, that's an RN, not an M.
Yes.
They're very close together. Age 84, a Hall of Fame football player for the Green Bay Packers, was part of the Super Bowl champion team in 1966 and won the Heisman Trophy back in 1956.
So really great player back in his day.
Yeah. We also have Bruce Swedien, age 86, audio engineer, not only an audio engineer, but a rewarded one, as he won Grammys in 1983, 1987, 1990, 1992, and 1996. That's a lot of Grammys.
He won them with Michael Jackson, helping to produce Thriller and then everything else.
And the rest of his career hits. So that would do it.
If you were paired with Michael Jackson, your awards are in your future.
Turns out. All right, that's it for deaths, which means we flip this all over to you and we talk about music.
And we always start music with the Billboard, and we start the Billboard with the Hot 100. And your hottest song in the U.S. right now is Mood by 24 Golden.
Still,
featuring Ian Dior. And coming in at number two is a still pissed off Ariana Grande with Positions. Can't get that number one slot.
Yeah.
At number three is I Hope by Gabby Barrett featuring Charlie Puth. At four, Laugh Now, Cry Later by Drake featuring Lil Durk.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, at number five, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd.
Yep. The only thing that changed from last week was that I Hope moved up a couple spots.
Mm-hmm. But don't fret for The Weeknd, even though he's been around in the top five, because it was announced this past week, because I've got to put it in my music news. I'm sure you saw it too.
Yes.
I thought you were going to put it in music news, but...
The other two stories seemed bigger. But yes, The Weeknd is your Super Bowl halftime show performer.
Yes. The Pepsi halftime show presented by Bridgestone presents The Weeknd.
Presents The Weeknd. Yeah.
On a Sunday night, on Sunday football.
It's still The Weeknd. Sunday is not the end of the weekend until it's over.
It'll be interesting to see if they do have a live audience to perform to, or if it's just a
pre-taped thing.
Pre-taped. Here's what we can do with a pre-taped thing and kind of one-shot it with green screens everywhere.
It depends on where it is, right? Do we already know the location of the Super Bowl?
Yes, they usually announce it beforehand.
So we should be able to gauge that, like gauge by where it's being held with whether or not they're going to have fans.
Let's see. This year it is going to be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Okay, which is
It's gonna be in Miami, the Hard Rock Stadium.
So then the answer is probably yes, there
Probably
probably
yes.
will be, that will be an attended Super Bowl if I had put some money on it. Maybe not to full capacity, but yeah, I would imagine you have fans there in Miami, unless
Well, there have
something
fans in
changes.
Miami right now, so yes, there will be
That's what I'm saying.
fans.
Unless something changes, unless the NFL uses different rules for the Super Bowl, but
Wait, no,
we'll
sorry,
see.
2021. Sorry. This past year was in
Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't it in Miami last year? So what is
yes.
it this year?
Still in Florida though, at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Okay, so then yes, still probably will have some fans in it.
Right. I think it was supposed to be at LA, but they switched it because
Okay.
LA has it the following year in 2022.
That makes more sense.
Yep.
All
But you could
right.
actually have fans in California.
Yes.
But
Possibly.
congratulations to The Weeknd. Go perform on the pirate ship.
I mean, if he doesn't, I would be very disappointed.
You have it, you might as well use
You
it.
gotta use it. You gotta use it. It's right there. All right. What about our albums chart?
As for your albums chart, the Billboard 200, there is Ariana Grande on top with Positions.
Second week at number one.
At number two, we have Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon by Pop Smoke. At three, Fuck Love by The Kid Laroi.
Yeah, we can say that. We're an
Yes.
unrated, explicit tagged podcast.
Yes. But yes, that is a capital, all caps, Laroi.
Leroy! Yeah, it's key.
At four, What You See Is What You Get by Luke Combs. And at five, Welcome to O Block by King Von. And he won't be back in next week.
No, I mean, that's what we thought about 24 Golden featuring Ian Dior, and they still are here, so who knows, right?
Yeah, but that's a single, not an album.
Yeah,
Especially when we have new releases.
we do. What's coming out this week?
This week we have B Deluxe Edition by BTS. We also have KG. That's not Kevin Garnett,
No.
but King Gizzard and the Lizard
It's your
Wizard.
favorite band name to say on this podcast.
It definitely is. I think that's their fifth album, fourth album we've mentioned.
They are very prolific.
We also have Lindstrom and Prince Thomas.
You missed the album name there.
No, that's just the slashes that we use.
Next to the slashes that we use.
Oh, I, three,
Three, probably.
three backslashes, backslash, backslash,
Yeah.
backslash.
No, it's three in italics.
Oh, it's italics. Who uses italics anymore?
I do.
Apparently, Lindstrom and Prince Thomas uses italics. We also have Origin of the Alimonies by Lutgary.
Liturgy.
Lutgary.
Liturgy. You're switching the placement of the U.
Don't know, but see, it sounds like an IKEA furniture if I say it like that.
It does actually. It's like, oh, I'm sitting on my Lutgery
Liturgy.
now. Yes, liturgy.
We also have Good News by Megan Thee Stallion. And lastly, Never Give Up by Partner.
So that Megan Thee Stallion record, I would not be surprised if that's what dethrones Ariana in 2 weeks.
You will be surprised because it's going to be the BTS record.
Well, the name of that implies that it's not new, that it's maybe a re-release of something previous. So maybe not. We'll see.
Maybe you just call your album Deluxe Edition
You
and
could.
make people wonder what happened to the first one.
Fair.
It's like
All
naming
right.
your kid the third and people wonder what happened to the one and two.
I'm a junior.
Or, I by Lindstrom.
Yes.
All right, going on to music news. And someone's got to pay me because I knew this was going to happen. I should have put a wager on it. Who could have seen this coming?
Okay.
Because when it involves rapper Lil Wayne,
Yeah.
he's not going to be on his best behavior because he's been charged with possession of a firearm and ammunition by the U.S. District Attorney in the Southern District of Florida. If convicted, Dwayne Michael Carter
That's his real name.
could face up to 10 years in prison because he is a convicted felon.
He's already a convicted felon, so.
Right. Quote, the United States Attorney's charges that on or about December 23rd, 2019, in Miami-Dade County, in the Southern District of Florida, Dwayne Michael Carter, aka Lil Wayne, knowingly possessed a firearm and ammunition in affecting interstate and foreign commerce, knowing that he had previously been convicted of a crime punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year, in violation of Title 18, U.S. Code, Section 922, subparagraph G, subparagraph 1.
We get really specific here on the Media Boat podcast.
So he knows he's been a convicted felon. He was in
Yes.
jail for this, and you're not supposed to have a firearm.
No. No, he's not.
No, that's why you have the guy to your left hold your firearm, or the guy to your right hold your firearm
Yeah,
while
I don't
you
know.
keep your hands clean.
Yeah, I don't know what the circumstances were when he got caught, but man, come on, Little Wayne. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know the rules.
I think he needs new material.
You don't need to be armed all the time.
This will obviously push back the Kata 6.
To know what Birdman thinks about this. It's like, I told you.
What if like keeping the Kata 5 hold up was like the only way Birdman could control him to not go back to jail?
Maybe. And keeping him with something to do, keeping him occupied.
Well, his hands were occupied with guns, apparently. Or at least they were on his body or person. Yeah, he can't possess it. Come on.
Speaking of come on.
Speaking of comeuppance, I'm not. No, this isn't comeuppance. This is the opposite of comeuppance. What's the opposite of comeuppance? Come downins?
It's a wrinkle, I think, in the career of Media Boat favorite Taylor Swift.
Right. So Taylor Swift and the Masters. Not those Masters, but
Not
her
golf.
record Masters.
Right.
They were recently sold,
Again.
but not to Taylor Swift again, and not without her knowledge again. I feel like we're
Yeah,
repeating this somewhere.
again. I know. So, yeah, I mean, read the story.
Right, I know. So Taylor Swift has responded to news of the sale of her catalog by Scooter Braun to a private equity company, confirming that a deal went down in October with a firm revealed to her to be Shamrock Holdings. And that, as would be expected, she is deeply unhappy with the second sale of her master recordings without her consent or involvement in a year and a half. Swift additionally declared that she has already embarked on re-recording her entire Big Machine catalog, as previously promised, with the hopes of having fans only listen to the music that she controls. In detailed posts on Twitter, Swift says she was alerted to the October sale by Shamrock Holdings itself, only after the deal had already gone through, when the company reached out with hopes of working with her on the catalog in the future. While Swift maintains that she was open to that, she quickly nixed any future collaboration when she learned that Scooter Braun will contractually continue to profit from her work even after the sale.
Yeah.
So this is a combination of three stories. Continuing one of Scooter Braun purchasing Big Machine Records with Ithaca Holdings and basically running Taylor Swift out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift not being able to purchase her masters, which I think the sale went through at north of $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
But she also basically now has a life vendetta hatred, I will say, towards Scooter Braun. Yeah.
And I don't blame her. So one of the other wrinkles to this story that is not in this paragraph, but I had read previously, was that so before she even knew that it had been sold to this Shamrock Holdings, apparently they had put it up for sale with also without notifying her. So even if she wanted to, she couldn't have put in a bid because the sale was happening without her consent.
And so part of the deal to be sold was that they could not disclose that they were purchasing the records. Otherwise, the deal would have gone through, would not have gone through, would have fallen through. Yeah.
So it's Scooter Braun, just another example of Scooter Braun just being like, no, I'm gonna bother like letting her know. She doesn't need to know. They're mine. I can do whatever I want with them.
Right. Including trying to make Taylor Swift sign an NDA towards Scooter Braun.
Yes.
Before
a
number was even thrown out that she could have purchased her records back at.
So the newsiest part of this news is that, well, Taylor's pissed, number one. And number two is that, yes, she is going to fast track these re-recordings of her past albums. So yeah, this is quite a big project, as you would imagine. She has, let's see, 6 right, because reputation counts. Six records that she needs to re-record. That's a lot of songs.
Right.
Not to mention
hits.
Yeah. Not to mention like singles, not to mention like, you know, one-off stuff that she did, not to mention her Christmas record, mm-hmm. which came out shortly after her self-titled. Like, there's a lot of stuff to re-record here, but I'm fascinated by this as a project. I can't wait to see her reinterpret, because it's not only a way for her fans to revisit her older work without paying Scooter Braun, which she mentioned specifically here, but it's also an interesting creative pursuit, right? Because she gets to reinterpret these older songs through the lens of modern day Taylor Swift. So also you might hear
the lens of hindsight.
Right, exactly. So you might see different takes on songs. You might see songs from different perspectives. You might see songs with different instrumentation. Like something that had a very hardcore country sound might now be super poppy. Something that was maybe leaning towards pop will go all the way now. There's interesting kind of ways that she can reinterpret her past albums.
And she probably has reinterpreted them when mm-hmm. she's been on tour.
Yeah.
And sung these songs over and over again that let's change this, let's change that, let's keep this, let's keep that. And so as she's done more tours and sung these songs over and over again, that she has perfected the song more now than when she originally recorded.
Yeah, it's honestly a fascinating thing to think about. And it's only going to get more fascinating once these start coming out. So she says she's still working on them right now. Originally, there was some sort of statement that she had made that she was hoping to have these out by November of 2020. Well, it's November of 2020 now. Does not sound like they're ready for release, but also curious about how she releases them. Does she do it album by album? Is this like a Star Wars re-release thing, 1997 thing, where we're going to get a new Taylor Swift re-record every 3 months? Like, that would be pretty rad. So I don't know how she's going to do it, but I am fascinated by this, and all power to her, whatever it takes for her to get ownership of her songs that she wrote.
Right, and going back to the deal that Shamrock Holdings made,
mm-hmm.
They had wanted to reach out with Taylor, and as soon as the deal went through, they reached out to her saying that they had purchased it. and that they were willing to work with her.
Right. But.
But money would still go back to Scooter Braun.
No deal.
So no deal. Interesting to see if they get sold again.
Who knows? I don't know anything about these Shamrock people, so.
Doesn't sound quite lucky, though.
No. Not for Taylor. No. All right. Did you listen to anything this week?
I did. But it's not really worth noting.
I don't know, is it?
Number one song. So I decided to do some cleaning and trying to get into the holiday spirit.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really want to listen to holiday music.
Okay.
So Andrea Bocelli put out a new album.
Okay.
that's about all I got. Because a lot of it's in Italian. Andrea Bocelli, famous opera singer, sings a lot of good stuff. But I didn't really understand most of it, except for the one song he redid Hallelujah.
The Leonard Cohen
song. So that's a good song. And he belts the shit out of it. And I could listen to that thing all holiday season. I won't be surprised if I see that tracking anywhere come December. But Andrea Bocelli, great voice. It's a beautiful album if you like opera music. I don't, but thankfully it was just on the background while I was doing the other stuff. And it was very soothing. Meant from listening to like any like either pop album or rap album, it's like not like that like different taste that you get, from, like a different flair. It's like, oh yeah. This music is also good.
You should tell a friend of the show, Mark, about this, because I know he's a big fan.
Of Andrea Bocelli?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yeah, anyway. He has a new album out. If you're in the holiday mood, or you're trying to get a holiday mood, check it out. Check or if you just want to listen to some Andrea Bocelli opera.
All right. Well, that will do it then for music. Let's move on. Why don't we?
Yep. Let's move on to video games. Really short release schedule today.
Everything came out last 2 weeks, so we're done with next gen releases for a while. Now we're just trickling down through the rest of the year.
Yep. We have Football Manager 2021 for the PC. Is this soccer football or American football?
I believe that is Soccer Football Manager, yes.
I want to say you're right. We also have World of Warcraft, Shadowlands for the PC. That's and expansion. Lastly, Hyrule Warriors AOC. Or Age of Calamity for the Switch.
It's a calamity.
I played the demo of this when it was announced. Did you end up playing the demo?
No. I remember I'm having that SD card issue with my Switch.
Right.
I've not resolved it yet.
Okay. So I played Hyrule Warriors demo Age of Calamity. I liked it. I don't know if it's enough for me to buy it.
Are you typically into the Dynasty Warriors games? Have you ever been into the Dynasty Warriors games?
Not typically, but I did like that you just like beat up on a lot of people.
That's kind of what they do. Those are those games, turns out.
I have also been playing the PS Plus game Shadow of Mordor or Shadow of War.
All right. Shadow of War, that's the second one.
Right. So it's been so long that I vaguely remember playing it, but also I think I like red boxed it, so I only played it for like a weekend.
I think you're right. I think that's what we did.
But I'm having fun going through that, and it's free to me because I subscribe to PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
But also play a different game, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, we'll talk about games we played later. Getting ahead of ourselves.
I'm saying that, yeah. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good demo. I could see why people would buy this. I could see exactly who it's for. And apparently it has some Legend of Zelda lore that may or may not affect its future.
Yes. Or so I've heard. It seems like a lot of this stuff that's in this game will directly lead to a sequel to Breath of the Wild. And also, one thing to add about this demo is that progress in the demo will carry on to the full game. So those who are planning on buying this, get the demo anyway, because what you do in the demo will still affect what you have when you buy it. So there you go.
Yep. But let's talk about actual video game news.
Let's talk about video game news.
And we start going to the Great White North in Canada, specifically Montreal.
Yes.
As the police there evacuated the offices of video game developer Ubisoft Montreal on Friday afternoon in response to a 911 call about a hostage situation that was later confirmed to be a hoax.
Yeah.
The police, quote, "The police operation in connection with a hostage-taking call is over," read a tweet written by the Montreal Police Department. The investigation, however, has not concluded. Police are looking into the source of the 911 call. Ubisoft Montreal took to Twitter following the event to express their gratitude to the police's quick and professional response and for the support and kind words the company received. Quote, "Following the reports of an incident in the studio earlier today, November 13th, Friday the 13th, we are relieved to confirm that all of our team members in Ubisoft Montreal are safe and have been evacuated from the premises. We commend the strength and solidarity of all of our team members in this complex and stressful situation. We are grateful for the prompt response of the police and local authorities. We will continue to provide our teams with all the necessary support to cope with this traumatic event."
Yeah.
End quote.
So who
calls 911? Who tries to SWAT people?
It's still unclear who is responsible for the call. I'm sure that they will have punishment in line for that person in some form. But yeah, this is the first example that we have of SWATting, which, if you're not familiar, is a term for basically anybody who calls the police on an individual, reports something very serious that is definitely not happening. And it's called SWATting because they could potentially send the SWAT team over to someone's house to just burst in case there is actually a hostage situation. So, you know, in the past, we've heard this happening to your average person in a home, but this is the first we've heard on this scale where they did it to a video game development office. So it's a really awful precedent to set. And the fact that it worked, I'm using quotes here, but like it was effective at like tricking people into thinking.
Evacuate the building.
Yeah. In fact, when news outlets first started reporting this, people were using Twitter reactions and people initially did believe that there was really a hostage situation because that's what the police were reporting at the time, because that's had been the call. So this is kind of, I guess, a lesson in two parts. One, this is why major news outlets should not report on immediate Twitter reaction and should wait until something develops, because we definitely proved that that's a problem this week. And two is that there needs to be more work done with the idea of false calls to the police on this scale, because this is really horrifying, really scary.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that would circulate back to the building and you have people like freaking out that something is actually happening.
The story did go on. I don't have this part on the sheet here, but the story did go on to mention that there wasn't a whole lot of people in the office. It is important to note that Ubisoft Montreal is still mostly in a work from home situation right now because of the COVID-19 pandemic, though they are allowing certain people to go into the office when needed. So this wasn't, thankfully, a full office full of all of their employees. It was a smattering of employees on different floors that were evacuated. So not as bad as it could have been potentially, but still, whoever's out there doing this kind of shit, come on. Come on. You know better.
Can't they just like call the Trump tip line and spam them with calls?
Ah, if only.
I thought that was a thing they were doing. Anyways, moving on to our second story in video games.
Yes.
It's award season.
This broke today. If you haven't been thinking about your game of the year, start thinking about it.
Right. And we have quite a list to choose from, as the Game Awards, which will be live streamed on December 10th, has unveiled the list of games nominated for categories like Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Art Direction, and the much coveted Game of the Year.
The Goat Yay.
Naughty Dogs, The Last of Us Part 2, leads the pack with 10 awards, including a spot on the Game of the Year list, much to everyone's chagrin.
I mean, it still did pretty well. There's still plenty of outlets that gave it high scores. Let's not pretend that people did not like the The Last of Us Part 2. I know you liked it, so.
Oh yeah, I liked the story they were trying to tell there.
It's there for a reason,
but it's definitely there for a reason. Other contenders for the Game of the Year award include Animal Crossing New Horizons,
yep,
with 3 nominations, Doom Eternal with 4 nominations, Final Fantasy VII Remake with 6 nominations, Ghost of Tsushima with 7 nominations, and Media Boat favorite Hades with 8 nominations.
Yes.
4 of the 5 aforementioned games also land on the Best Game Direction list alongside Half-Life Alyx. Additionally, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part II appear on the Best Narrative list next to 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. The same 4 games, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and Last of Us Part II, also compete for the Best Art Direction Award against Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yeah, so I think there's 2 major takeaways from this. The first is, hell yeah, Hades, which is storming the competition. Mm-hmm. Supergiant's games have never gone this high in these Game Awards nominations, so it's great to see them competing this year. Of course, on the back of a very, very good game that we've both played and enjoyed here. The other story, though, is people are scratching their heads at the presence of Doom Eternal in the Game of the Year category. A lot of people saying that should have been Half-Life Alyx's place. And are wondering why a game that got kind of middling reviews overall in critical reception is nominated here.
Right. And I'm also not seeing a whole lot of VR games speaking of Half-Life Alyx.
No, it was kind of a weaker year for VR. I think that the VR peak is mostly over. So yeah, this is kind of like the leftovers. But ultimately though, with Doom Eternal being the exception here, this is a pretty strong Game of the Year list. I think I could see a placement for all of these games.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's not your Game of the Year,
I think this is going to come down to, and I think a lot of people's minds, and I think a lot of other media outlets as well, it's going to be a Hades versus Last of Us Part 2 fight. I think it might even be a Hades versus Last of Us Part 2 fight on this very podcast's awards. I think that they're 2 very strong contenders that have very strong fan bases that are coming from the
very different art styles.
Are coming from the exact opposite, like not only in tone, but also in like game design philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting to see where people land on these.
But we will find out on December 10th.
Sure will.
And as we approach December 10th, which is just a month away, we also have to figure out what our Game of the Year is.
We'll get there.
We have some thoughts on possible Game of the Years.
Wow. Okay. You're coming out swinging here. Do you want to go first then, if you're all hot to talk about your game?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Go first.
I won't take very long with mine. So I mentioned last week that I didn't have a chance to jump on Destiny 2's new expansion, Beyond Light. But this week, I did. So for those of you who are Game Pass subscribers on the Xbox, you can jump into this right now. Beyond Light is included in the Game Pass version of Destiny 2. If you're on PC, though, it's $40. But I ended up paying it because I was like, this is where I play this game. This is where it runs best. So I'm going to stick with the PC version of the game. So,
so it got me to go back to Destiny 2.
Yes, and I'm glad I did. This seems like a pretty cool expansion. So a lot of the planets that existed are cut for this. In fact, the overall size of the game has also gone down because of that. And you're pretty much left with only a handful of locations that you can deal with. The new planet, Europa, is where most of the new campaign takes place. And it's a snow world. So think Hoth, and you'll get an idea of what the area that you're traversing in this expansion mostly looks like.
A classic snow world.
Exactly. So it looks beautiful. In fact, it looks so beautiful that whatever new graphic elements that they added in this expansion actually started bringing me below 60 frames on my graphics card. So I cranked things down, not down that far, only like from very high to high, and now it runs fine. It still looks really great. So I didn't have to go that far down for it to start running at 60 again. But that being said, I mean, it's probably going to look really, really cool on those new consoles. So if you're playing Destiny 2 on a Series X, this is the time to jump in. But yeah, it's a pretty cool expansion. I'm about halfway through, I believe, the campaign right now. It's a pretty significantly sized campaign. It seems like there's easily more missions here than there was in the last expansion, Shadowfall. Shadowfall? That sounds right. That might be the name of it. Anyway.
It is. Godfall is the...
Yeah, Godfall's the... Yeah, the other game. So yeah, I'm enjoying what I've been playing of it so far, but I haven't finished it yet. I'm not a Destiny 2 lore guy, so I can't really tell you much about what's happening in the story of Destiny, but it's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
All right, sounds good. Now for my game of the year.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Okay, I'm not going to get
ahead of myself. That is a debate that we will have another day.
So, game of the year may be too strong. Game of the decade?
Okay, all right. No,
that doesn't
sound... Decade good. Just started, so...
Game of the coma patient. I think that's a better one. Game of the coma patient.
How about game of the pandemic? Let's say, you want to say that?
No, I'm going to go with game of the coma patient. Because
okay.
If you like rhythm games, but you have not played a single Kingdom Hearts game,
mm-hmm.
Is this the game for you?
Wait, are you saying that this is going to tell me everything about the Kingdom Hearts series?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm saying that they are milking this story for all it's worth, because not only did we play it for PS2 when it came out, not only did we play the HD remix for PS3, not only did we play the 1.5 and 2.5 remix for PS4, but they want you to go through this whole story again from the beginning for Melody of Memory.
And is it worth it?
Your mileage may vary.
Okay, so you're coming from an interesting perspective here, because you're not only a fan of Kingdom Hearts, but you're also a fan of rhythm games. So yes. what's your take on Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory?
You have to be a fan of rhythm games, and you kind of need to be a fan of rhythm games in general
mm-hmm.
to be a fan of this game, because I can see people paying $60 for it, which does feel like a steep price if you're not ready for a rhythm game.
Okay.
And you're just paying the $60 because it's a Kingdom Hearts game. Because the amount of new stuff you get in this thing totals maybe about 30 minutes. From start to finish to beat the game is about anywhere between 7 and 10 hours.
Okay.
It's a short story game.
But that's not what they marketed this thing as.
And that's not why you're going to buy this game.
Right, exactly.
You're buying it for the replayability. You're buying it to play the songs over and over again.
From my perspective, I never expected this thing to add anything to the Kingdom Hearts mythos. Like, my perspective on this thing was, it's a rhythm game that is going to retell a lot of elements of Kingdom Hearts with a lot of the music that you loved.
Not just a lot of the elements, literally every single game.
And that is what I didn't anticipate. I thought this was going to be a greatest hits, you know? And this, saying this is more like a play-by-play.
It is a play-by-play. It's the greatest hits of the specific titles. Minus the stuff you can't get licensing for.
Yeah, you're not getting it under the sea in here.
Oh, no, you are.
What?
You're not getting Tarzan, though. But you're getting Under the Sea.
Weird. Okay, so there are some Disney songs in this?
You're not getting He's a Pirate.
Wait, okay, hold on. So you are getting some Disney songs in this?
Yes.
I did not anticipate that. I thought this was just going to be the Kingdom Hearts stuff. Wow, I'm surprised, actually.
They're getting the Mickey Mouse March from Disney Castle. You're also getting the Timeless River theme. But yeah, there's certain songs on there that's listed that if you stream, you will be banned. Or like the DMCA with Twitter.
I mean,
or with Twitch.
Yeah, we've talked about the Twitch music regulations thing. Somebody pointed out on Twitter how funny it was that all the emails for the Twitch stuff about the music licensing came out the week between Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory and Fuser. Two very heavy, two games that heavily use licensed music.
Yep.
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah. So anyways, this game immediately throws you into a scenario of button mashing and, not button mashing, but
rhythm game.
Rhythm game.
Yeah.
Without any tutorial. Before you get to the tutorial, it just throws you right into it. And it does its opening credits, which also gets you your basic story through Kingdom Hearts. And then it starts you off in release order, going through Kingdom Hearts 1, Chain of Memories, Kingdom Hearts 2, Birth by Sleep, Coded, Days, Dream Drop Distance, 2.8, and then Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
And you get, I think, a total of 300? Just over 300 different variations of songs.
Wow.
That's including like the different difficulty replays. So you get a lot of songs to replay and a lot of songs to master.
Sounds like it.
But like, as for the actual story content, it's short. It's 10 hours. If you're getting it for story, not for you. You're getting it for a rhythm game. You're getting it for the music. And this is basically their version of Kingdom Hearts World Orchestra Tour in video game rhythm format. So people who like going to those concerts, who've paid for it, who know about them, who buy those albums, who want the music, you get the music. So but yeah, Let It Go's in here too.
So the rhythm game part of it, is it fun to play? Does it do anything interesting with the rhythm game format?
So it's different because, unlike, say, Guitar Hero or Rock Band, where you have an actual instrument and five different buttons to press, it's three. Your attack button and your two shoulder buttons. At various times, like in the demo, you either attack it once, twice, or all three.
Okay.
My problem with it is the jumping and gliding part.
Okay. So like a hold kind of pattern?
Very difficult with jumping precisely, and then jumping to glide while also attacking. And sometimes I miss it and it breaks my combo. I was like, ah, shit, fuck, goddamn, I gotta start over again.
So it's another one of those trial by error things. Like, once you've seen it a few times, you'll expect more what you're doing with the button inputs.
Yeah.
It'll get easier as you go.
Right, and I'm playing it on the Switch, so
okay,
it's different from, because I'm usually playing Kingdom Hearts with the PlayStation controller. Playing on Switch is different, but I mainly do that's the way I can do two player single player,
right?
Because it comes with two controllers for the Switch, and I just play with myself instead of trying to figure out claw hand how to do a Kingdom two PlayStation controllers.
Right, and God forbid making friends in a pandemic, you're not going to do that. So.
Well, see, this is the thing that I'm having a bug with. Okay.
Okay.
There is an online versus mode where you can play against people, but it's solely ranked and random to where you don't play against friends.
Okay. There's no way you can party up and do like a friend match? No?
Nope.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's weird. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Like, you figure at least, like, your friends can do co-op.
Not great.
No. Couch co-op. But you have, it tries to do things with synthesizing, because God forbid we don't have a synthesizing element in a Kingdom Hearts game. and a lot of it is mainly you play the songs for earning collectibles to fill out the sheets that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to fill out the index, trying to get the 100%.
Yeah, which I'm sure you're going for because you're Mr. 100% over there.
Yeah, but also I like playing those rhythm game songs over and over again. Except when it... So there's three difficulties. You're beginner, standard, and proud. There's not going to be... If they ever do an update, I don't see why they would add a critical mode. Because performer mode is basically your critical mode, and I suck hard at it. It adds directional buttons, directional inputs, and certain button presses to where if you're not paying attention, you will miss it and it will break your combo. And as soon as you lose a combo, it's done. It's done for. And you can just get beat up and slashed up. And yeah, it's just like, oh, that's it. You're just going to die right here, right now. Because unlike other rhythm games where you can try and reset yourself and get back into a streak, it's really hard to do it on performer mode in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
You can do it in the other, like, basic standard proud. But goddamn, performer mode is just kicking my ass. And I've, like, kind of sworn off it until I kind of master the songs first before adding extra button inputs.
Yeah, just get to it when you've had some more practice. You kind of get up there to that skill level.
Yeah.
But that's good. Sounds good. Sounds like a good game. I wouldn't call it game of the year, game of the decade, but I don't know.
No, it's not. That's just me hyping it up. Definitely not. But
Fair enough.
It's a Kingdom Hearts game. Like I said, it's if y'all either like rhythm games, the Kingdom Hearts music, to really appreciate this kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to beat it in like 10 minutes and may never touch it again. And you'll feel like a wasted $60. But with that, that's all I got.
All right. Anything? No, besides Destiny, I jumped back into Hades real quick. I did a third escape. I did it with the spear this time. So escape attempt in Hades with the spear. So yeah, I've done one with the shield, one with the bow, and one with the spear now. I'm trying to do it with the sword, and oh my god, I can't do it.
Oh, like I said, watch that dev speed run of this just the sword with nothing, and you'll feel incompetent.
No, I already feel incompetent. I did three in a row last night trying to beat it with the sword, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, did a sword one of the first sword upgrade just to see if that would help, and now I might jump back in and try to do it again with the bow, just because I miss using the bow. It was my favorite, and now I feel like since I have such an urge to only do the weapons I haven't beaten it on, I've been ignoring the ones I like, so we'll see. But I do intend on trying to finish that before we have Game of the Year talks. But we'll see.
We like try and finish all the weapons?
Or at least get 10 clears, because that's when credits roll. So okay. I want to finish Hades. which I don't think you ever actually do, but I want to finish Hades.
No one ever finishes it.
All right. No, but that's all that's the only thing that I haven't planned, so.
All right. Then I think we are done here. Let's wrap it up.
I think so. Thank you for joining us for the Media Boat Podcast this week. If you want to see more of us, you can on YouTube search Media Boat Podcast to find our YouTube channel. And you can find archives of our older episodes, of this episode that's happening right now, and new episodes as they air after they air every Wednesday night. You can also listen to us in audio form if you'd rather listen to an audio version of this podcast. We're on podcast services such as Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, Google Play. Anywhere that you get your podcasts, likely we are there. So search Media Boat Podcast to find our show. You can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're at Media Boat Cast. On Facebook, just search Media Boat Podcast and you'll find us. Like and comment on our page, whatever you want to do. You can also find us or ask us questions by emailing us at mediaboatpodcast@gmail.com. That's mediaboatpodcast@gmail.com. So with that, we'll see you next week with another episode of the Media Boat Podcast.
We'll be back more next week. I may check out that Queen's Gambit show on Netflix that people seem to be talking about everywhere.
Yeah.
We'll have more thoughts. I mean, we're probably going to listen to some music.
Probably. Maybe. Probably Who knows?
Stallion.
Who can say? But yeah, we'll be back with all that and more next week.
Yep. And we'll, okay. See you next week.
That's it. Bye. Next week. Bye.